Leviticus 19, and we're going to look at James 4, and we're discussing evil speech, gossip, backbiting, talebearing, whispering, slander, and this is our third message on this topic. And let me read our text, Leviticus 19, and I'll begin at verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And then James 4:11. And I'm going to begin reading at 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest thy brother? We're looking at reasons why evil speech, gossip, slander, backbiting, whispering, and so forth is so bad. And we've looked at some reasons. We're up to our fourth reason. The first few were from the book of James itself. The first three were all from the text in James itself. And now we're coming to more general considerations. Fourth. Closely related to our point regarding Christian brotherhood is the fact that it violates Christian love. Christian love does a number of things that destroy gossip, talebearing, and revealing secrets. Number one, it's a good lesson on the New Testament teaching on Christian love. Love always has as its goal the edification of a brother and not his destruction. If you're attacking somebody and ripping them behind their back and trying to destroy their reputation, then you have no claim on Christian love. That's clearly not Christian love. That's hate. Paul says, Ephesians 4:29-32, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Typical Paul dealing with sanctification. A bunch of don'ts followed by replace those things with these things. Kindness. Forgiveness. Being tenderhearted. Paul says that any communication that is designed to hurt another Christian, whether through direct speech, for example, an insult, a slight, or gossip, is immoral. It flows from bitterness, wrath, or unrighteous anger. It is evil speaking that flows from malice. Now, the word malice implies a a deep-seated dislike or hatred of another that takes pleasure in others' downfall or seeing others suffer. It flows from resentment. And that's a paraphrase of the Webster's Dictionary. Instead, Christians must choose words that are appropriate for the edification of the other believer. And the Greek means the edification that necessity calls for. Words that are fit for that particular problem, for that particular sin. So instead of tearing your neighbor down, your goal is to build him up. This means that we are to help the other Christian solve problems in his life through what J. Adams calls nuthetic confrontation. or biblical admonition, or a biblical rebuke appropriate to what he needs. The words are to be means of grace that will benefit the hearer spiritually. This is the direct opposite of seeking revenge, or seeking retaliation, or seeking damage. Not damage, edification. Not hate, love. Not destruction, but building up. In Romans 14:19, Paul says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." And we've already seen, what does gossip, slander, and backbiting and talebearing do? Separates friends, causes destruction, disturbs the peace of the church, causes church splits and so forth. So the solution is the opposite, edification. Edification makes for peace. If Christians refuse to gossip, backbite, and whisper against each other, and instead seek the other's good with words of edification, the result will be peace between believer and believer, and peace within churches. In Romans 15:2, Paul adds, "Let us, each of us, please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Instead of tearing down or damaging a brother, we are to build him up. Edification is a constructive alternative to demolition. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, "Love suffers long and is kind and does not seek its own." He says in Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech always be with grace." Now, what, is it, what does grace mean? Undeserved favor. Kindness. Season with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Speech seasoned with salt is speech that prevents corruption, disintegration, or decay. It's speech that does not demolish, does not destroy, does not cause conflict, does not cause warfare, does not cause church splits. It does the opposite. They're words of healing. They're words of edification. They're words of love. Also, you could add, salt makes things tastier, more palatable. So you want to think of what you're going to say ahead of time, and even though you may be rebuking a brother, you want to form your words in such a way as to be least offensive and most edifying. Our speech must be flavored with the gospel of grace and love, not bitterness and hatred. Number two. Okay, so number one, love always seeks the edification of a brother. Love always seeks the peace of the church. Love always seeks the other's goodness and sets the other person above oneself. Number two. Love always regards a fellow Christian as more important than self. Peter says, 2 Peter 2:17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood." That is, love them in a more special, concentrated manner. Union in one body, the body of Christ, is even more important than blood relations. Now, why do I say that? Well, blood relations are certainly important. But if you got a brother and he's not a Christian, when he dies, you'll never see him again. If you've got somebody from the other side of the world and he's a brother in Christ, you'll be spending eternity with him. And you're related by the Holy Spirit. And that's much more important than blood relations. Know what Paul says, Galatians 6:10. "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." Believers take priority. Paul says, if we know everything and do not have love, it profits us nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And John says, 1 John 3:10 and 4:20, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. If a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So how do you know whether you're really a Christian? How do you know if you have genuine saving faith? Well, a crucial fruit of faith is that you don't gossip. A crucial fruit of faith, evidence of saving faith, is you don't trash your brothers behind his back. And there are people in the church that habitually do this. And John is saying, they're not Christians. They're not Christians. Christians don't do that. Love does not badmouth or speak evil of his brother. If you really love your brother, then you will try to preserve his reputation by dealing with offenses privately. Face to face. These people who, and I've seen this, I've been a Christian a long time, I've seen this over and over and over again in different churches. People get offended by certain things and then they write up these lists. And they're not willing to deal with the person face to face because that takes courage. And that requires obedience to the Word of God. They write nasty letters. They write nasty letters. They're not willing to deal with something face to face, so they write nasty letters. Totally wicked. Totally ungodly. If you really love your brother, you will do your best to overlook small rubs and offenses and cover over and truly forgive a brother who repents. If you really love your brother, you will refuse to listen to gossip about him, and you will not believe negative reports concerning him, and you will rebuke all gossipers. If you really love your brother. And the sad state of affairs today is that you look at the state of the church and you look how people talk about each other and how people talk on the internet, and you don't see this kind of Christian love very often. Remember, on the day of judgment, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of how we extended love to our brothers in Christ. If Christ expects us, Matthew 25, to give a cup of cold water to another Christian, and he commands us for it on the day of judgment, then certainly he expects us, he wants us, to speak good of our brothers, to extend words of kindness, forgiveness, and edification. And not badmouth them behind their back. Remember what Christ said to Paul on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? What you do to my people, you're doing to me. Before you speak about a fellow Christian, think of Jesus' words in Matthew 7:12. Whatsoever you would have men do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Would you want people to speak evil of you behind your back? Is that something that you like? Do you want that? Would you like it if others gossiped about you and caused others to hate you? That's what gossip does. That's the purpose of gossip. The purpose of gossip is not edification. The purpose of gossip is to get people to hate other people. The purpose of gossip is to sow hatred, contention in the church. Would you like to have your secret sins and your past failings published to the whole world? Is that something you think is a good thing? Would you like that? Would you like to have the whole course of your life ripped up and placed in the worst possible light? Well, no, of course not. Those who like to speak of the terrible sins and miscarriages of others would like their own sins dealt with privately, face to face, as Leviticus 19, 16, and 17 in Matthew 18, 15 and following requires. They want to be treated with the love and justice of Scripture. They don't want people to treat them as they treat other people. They would like their sins dealt with, not with hatred, malice, and revenge as motivations, but with love, tenderness, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, a heart willing to forgive. Unfortunately, those who love to gossip and speak evil of others are very forgiving and partial to their own iniquities. Those who will most freely defame other men will not endure to be reproved and admonished themselves. That's a pattern. I've seen it. They that gleefully turn the edge of a sword of gossip to others and are these same people are unwilling to examine themselves. And the churches are often partially guilty. For in this area, the area of gossip is common and openly practiced, yet rarely condemned. I've been at several churches where gossip was a serious problem and things would come to the elders that never should have came to the elders. And it's extremely rare. I think it only happened once. It's extremely rare where the elders said, well, have you talked to the person privately in accordance with Matthew 18? And I was even in one church where the person deliberately was trying to ruin somebody and was gossiping to everybody. And the elders took the position, well, now it's public. Matthew 18 doesn't apply. It was made public by gossip. If that's your standard, if we can trash anybody we want and make their sins public, and then it becomes a public matter, and we can treat it as a public matter, then Matthew 18 is irrelevant. And number three, we're speaking about applications of Christian love. Love is the glue. It binds Christians together through thick and thin. It is the only way to maintain peace among saved sinners. I really like Jay Adams' books. I have a bunch of his books. I don't have the newer ones, but I have all his older books. And he emphasizes in his books, they're on Christian counseling, they're mainly written for ministers, but he emphasizes over and over again, the biblical procedures for communication and dealing with a brother and dealing with sin are necessary because churches are made up of sinners. There are going to be conflicts in the church. It is inevitable. There are going to be sins in the church. It is inevitable. There are going to be problems in the church. It is inevitable. We have to treat each other in accordance with the law of God, Leviticus 19, 16 to 17, and the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 18, 15 and following, and treat each other with Christian love and communication. And we find this over and over and over again in the epistles. Gossip and talebearing is a great sin against love and the maintaining of peace amongst brethren. In the context of conflict in the church, Paul notes this precious remedy. Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men. Romans 12, 8, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In the church, love seeks peace through obedience to the law of love. Regarding each other as an important part of the body of Christ, as a brother in the Lord. Seeking ways to cover over and forgive sins. And when rebuke is necessary, gossip is avoided as brothers are dealt with privately. The only time peace is not possible is when a man refuses to repent after three lawful admonitions. And such a one is cast out with tears, not hatred and anger. Remember, the church, the world, Christ said that the world's going to know that you are my disciples by how you love each other. And you look at the church today, and if the world is looking at the church, there's not much appealing there. Because Christians are gossiping and bashing each other and not following biblical procedure and not following Christian love. And by that, I'm not saying that we have to ignore doctrinal differences, that we have to ignore heresy. For the Bible, you read the New Testament, and over, they're warning people publicly of heresy. I'm talking about private sin. The natural offspring of gossip is contentions, divisions, animosities, while peace lies bleeding and languishing because of a lack of love, which leads to gossip and slander and backbiting and whispering. Four, biblical love destroys gossip and talebearing because Christian love submits to the commandments of God, and God hates gossip and evil speech. Now, always remember, this is a very important. Love in the Bible is not primarily feeling, like romantic kind of love. Love in the Bible means obedience to the law of God. There are going to be times when you don't feel like obeying the law of God. You may be highly offended by something somebody said, and you want to get lashed out. You want to gossip. You want to get even. But love means setting aside your feelings and submitting to the Word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. By this we know that we love God, that we keep His commandments. Christians are to be free from the vices of the heathen. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you walk not as the Gentiles walk. In Luke 12:25-26, Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship. They are proud, ambitious, imperious. But it should not be so among you. Christians are to be a cut above the world. They are to be separate, holy, a distinct, holy, separate people. They are to be a new creation who live to obey the covenant law. Now, most professing Christians recognize the hypocrisy, the absurdity of professing Christians going about lying and fornicating and committing adultery and stealing. Yet many excuse gossiping and talebearing as nothing. I was in a church where people learned never to say anything to an elder because the elders all gossip with their wives and their wives all gossip to everybody else in the church. So people learned if they wanted to get advice for something, if they wanted private counseling, they never went to an elder. They would go to other people because the elders would all tell their wives and their wives would all spread it all over the church. That ought not to be. Many people think that gossiping is perfectly acceptable. Even the heathen philosophers and moralists have condemned the practice of reproaching and speaking evil of others behind their back. Yet many Christians cling to the sin as something that should be practiced by those who profess Christ. Once again, many people who gossip think that they are serving Christ and the church through their gossip. They think they are justified. They think they are doing God's duty. Here's what Matthew Poole says. Hereby you do expel or weaken that excellent grace of love, that necessary and fundamental grace, that sweet and amiable grace. As all virtue is a reward to itself, so in this is a more special manner. Infinite is the pleasure of the holy soul in loving God and loving all men and loving enemies. Oh, this is the most delightful work. And on the contrary, hatred and malice and envy, as they are most sinful, so are they very miserable works and a great torment to him that has them. While the mind of a wicked, malicious man is like the raging sea, continually casting up mire and dirt, and is its own tormentor, the mind of a good man, exercising itself in love, is, as it were, a sea of glass like unto crystal, calm and serene. It enjoys God and itself and other men, yes, even a man's enemies. By this holy art, a man may get comfort out of his enemies, whether they will or no. Hereby you do contract guilt, the worst of all evils. A man's sin may injure another man, but the greatest and worst part of it falls upon his own head. Wickedness, said Seneca, drinketh up the greatest part of its own poison. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, Proverbs 8:36. You woundest another man's name, but you woundest your own conscience. Which of these is the worst? He whom you reproaches gets a blot before men, and you do procure yourself a blot before God. You accuse him before other men, and your conscience will accuse thee for it before God. Hereby you do lay a foundation for your own reproach. Matthew 7:1-2. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I think this text should strike terror into all persons who are guilty of this sin. The law of retaliation prescribed by God is frequently inflicted by him also. James 2:13. He shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. So that you do engage the great God against thee to pour contempt upon your name and to make thee a reproach in the world. End of quote. And then also listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 3:8-14. When you think about evil speech and what we've been discussing and you read the epistles, you'll see warnings against these kinds of sins over and over and over again. Here's Paul in Ephesians 3:8-14. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to him, the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Okay, so he just went through a bunch of things you're not supposed to do. Now here's Paul again. He says, get rid of this, and then he always adds, put on this. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So Christian love is multifaceted, and it teaches us in many ways not only to refuse evil speech, gossip, slander, talebearing, whispering, and so forth, but it teaches us to replace that with words of kindness, a tender heart, words of edification, seeking the good of your neighbor, obeying the law of God, following the biblical procedures set forth in the law and by Jesus Christ. And then fifth, evil speech such as gossip, talebearing, and backbiting must be avoided because it does great damage to the cause of Christ and his kingdom. And in principle, is an act of confederacy with God's greatest enemy, the devil. The scribes and the Pharisees were the great accusers of Christ. And Jesus said of them in John 8:41, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." The work of evil speech, among others, is the devil's great work and office, who therefore is called the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12:10. When you hear a pagan, a politician, rip Christians, he's obeying his father, the devil. When you hear a sodomite or a lesbian rip Christians in the Bible, you're hearing the voice of Satan. When you hear the typical Democratic politician speak against fundamentalist Christians and so forth, you're hearing the devil. And when you hear Christians bash each other behind their back and speak evil of each other, you're also hearing them act like the devil. Satan is assigned a name that describes his nature and actions against the saints. Diabolos, which means the reproacher, the slanderer, the culminator. Since gossipers, whispers, slanderers, backbiters do the devil's work, they are serving the devil's designs and goals. Not Christ's. Most of the damage to the church throughout history has not come from the Neros of this world, but from people within the church who claim to be Christian. The word translated "not slanderers" in the Greek in 1 Timothy 3:11 could literally be translated "not devils." Not devils. To have gossipers in the midst of the local church is to have little devils running about seeking to destroy God's work. And what is particularly tragic is that gossipers think they are doing God's work. They think they're helping the church as they tear it apart. As they tear it down. Remember, God is love. And therefore his design in sending his only begotten Son into the world was to save men from their sins and cause them to love each other. And everyone in accordance with his holy law. Jesus said that the world will know you are my disciples when they see the love you have for each other. But the devil is a malignant and hateful being, and his chief work in this world is to promote hatred, contention, strife, and warfare amongst men. That's his delight. And there is no more effective way of planting the seeds of hate than through the wicked sins of the tongue. Whispering, backbiting, gossiping, slandering. So I ask you, do you want to be like Christ? Do you want to imitate him, who was loving and kind and spoke words of edification, who had true compassion toward his people? Or do you want to imitate the devil? Because if you're gossiping or you're listening to gossip, you're imitating the devil. You're not imitating Christ. And then sixth, speaking evil must be strictly avoided because of the great evil that it does. It's extremely destructive. If a person sins by getting drunk, he can sober up, he can repent, he can avoid it in the future. If a person steals something from his neighbor, he can return it and he can make restitution. But if a person destroys a man's reputation through gossip, the damage is virtually irreparable. It's virtually irreparable. Solomon says, Proverbs 12:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. Consequently, the gossiper, the talebearer, or slanderer commits a sin more wicked than a man who robs one's house or steals his car. It does more personal damage to others. Yes, the cruelty of gossip even extends beyond the grave. For the man's name is damaged and maligned even after his death and his body rots in the tomb. It's true. This injury is greater than the physical injury. Because once it is unleashed, the beast cannot be put back into its cage. Damage to a house can be repaired. Goods can be returned. Broken bodies can be healed. But a reputation can hardly ever be restored. But you say that the gossip was true. So-and-so did do this. And I want everybody to know about it. It does not matter. Your actions are still the evil of evils, for when a Christian repents, and if anybody is truly a Christian, they will repent, the hatred caused by the gossip still remains. They've been damaged for life. They've been damaged for life by your words. And the judgment you will receive for that, the chastisement from God will be very severe. How can a man serve Christ effectively when he has been so damaged by gossip or slander? Gossip can hinder a man from doing good. One must therefore rebuke your neighbors to his face, not behind his back, and not suffer sin to rest upon him. Leviticus 19:17. There's a reason that 16 and 17 are next to each other. Excuse me, that was 16. Love your neighbor. Don't hate him in your heart. It's a sin to have a grudge in your heart against your neighbor. It's a sin to speak evil against your neighbor. Let us not forget that the great evil of gossip or slander, it is a great evil. It is a great corrupter of others in the church who listen and then spread the satanic sewage throughout the body of Christ. One must avoid the presence of gossipers, lest you are corrupted by their example. One must not listen to the gossip, for once it enters your ears and goes down to the innermost parts of the body, it's there. Well, let's stop and just briefly look at some ways to avoid gossip. Number one, avoid idleness. Be busy doing good things for Christ. Be busy doing your duty in life. Idleness leads to gossip. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 that the younger widows need to get married and be busy raising children. And the reason is given in verse 13. I'll read 13 and 14. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Verse 14, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Get married, raise your children, manage the house, be busy doing the things that God wants you to do. You won't have time to gossip. There's nothing worse than somebody who's idle, who sits around and speaks evil of others. In number two, it's noted, replace gossip with positive words for edification. If you have the habit of gossiping, if that has been one of your besetting sins, gossiping, slandering people behind their back, speaking evil of others, whether you're doing it on the internet or through the phone or through texting or whatever, instead of doing that, which is completely destructive and satanic, learn to practice edifying speech. Study the scriptures. Study theology. Study good counseling books like Jay Adams. And instead of trashing people behind their back, start writing little blurbs or speaking blurbs of, hey, you know, this might help you with this problem. And here's a passage. Speak words of edification. Learn to put that into practice. Learn to discuss good Christian topics that are good and useful. And number three, instead of gossip, which is a work of the devil, deal with personal problems privately in accord with Leviticus 19, 16, and 17, Matthew 18, 15, and following. Seek out the person face to face. Jesus is explicit about that. Don't use the internet. Don't use the phone unless they're in Alaska or something. Face to face. Don't write nasty letters. That's not seeking reconciliation. You can try to convince yourself it is, but it's not. Find them face to face, privately. Have a nice talk with them. And if they're Christians and you're presenting Scripture lovingly and clearly, they're going to go, you know something, you're right. I repent. I'm not going to do that anymore. And the matter's settled. Didn't cause any division in the body of Christ. Didn't cause any hatred. The person's reputation was preserved. You did your Christian duty. You loved your neighbor. Love seeks to help, to save, to retrieve a brother. Hatred seeks to destroy through gossip and or slander. And remember, once again, the context of Matthew 18. The Christian who sins is not somebody that you go after with a club to beat to death. The Christian who sins, Christ compares to a lost sheep that you're going out to retrieve, to save, to help, to love. The purpose of church discipline, even if it goes to step number three, the purpose of church discipline is to retrieve somebody. Not so other Christians will hate them and speak evil against them. And then number four, do not listen to gossip at all, but instead politely rebuke the gossiper. Now, this is hard sometimes. Gossip slips into conversations effortlessly, easily. And you're having a good talk about something, you may be talking doctrine with somebody, and all of a sudden they start gossiping about somebody. You've got to learn, you've got to put this into practice, you've got to practice this. Look, Steve, I really don't want to hear that, okay? It's not for me to hear. It's not for me to judge. It's not for me to contemplate. Go talk to him privately. You deal with it. I don't want to hear any of it. And you'll learn. That person will learn to be quiet very quickly. And if they're a habitual gossiper, and there are habitual gossipers in churches, they're going to learn to stay away from you. So you're not going to participate in their sin, and you're not going to encourage them in their sin. Remember, it's just as sinful to listen to gossip as it is to gossip. It's a sin. So you can't participate in it at all. And then number five, control one's anger and deal with problems the very day that they occur. I hate to use an illustration from Doug Wilson because he's basically a heretic now, but he had a great illustration back in the old days when he was still writing good stuff. Problems must be dealt with day by day. If they're not, it's like a house that is never cleaned. Toys accumulate, dirt accumulates, stuff accumulates, and pretty soon you can't walk through your house. It's full of gunk, it's full of junk, trash. The Christian has a moral obligation, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, to deal with a problem the day it occurs. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. What does it mean to give the devil an opportunity? Well, if you don't deal with the situation the day it occurred, and you put it in your heart, and you think upon it, you dwell upon it, what happens? Resentment, bitterness, inner anger, unresolved anger. And then what happens? That leads to gossip. That leads to retaliation. Christians don't go around bashing each other in the face. They don't go around slashing each other's tires. They get even through the tongue because somehow that's become acceptable. Deal with the problem the day it occurs. If somebody sins, or you see somebody do something that's a sin, or somebody offends you in any way, go talk to them and deal with it right away. If they tell you to jump in a lake, then go get a witness. If they tell both of you to jump in a lake, then you got to go to the elders. Only then do you go to the elders. And then the elders can handle it. You never gossip. You don't gossip. Period. And then number 6. Focus on Christ and His love as the perfect model of communication, reconciliation, and active love toward others. We never see Christ gossiping. Yes, Christ criticized public actions of the Pharisees and scribes. He criticized public teaching. Certainly, you can criticize something that's said in a public sermon that's unscriptural if you do it in a proper way. But you don't see Christ gossiping about Peter to John or John to Peter and so forth. Christ always dealt with his disciples' stupidity and sins to their face immediately, with gentleness and with love. And sometimes he had strong rebukes. Look how he handled Peter, who sinned a very serious sin by denying Christ 3 times publicly with curses. That's a very serious sin. Remember, Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before the Father. What did Jesus? So Jesus comes to Peter. Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Peter, do you love me? He didn't bash Peter over the head and smash him. He didn't say anything. He didn't trash him behind his back. If you love a brother, you go to him to their face. You speak to them privately. You obey the word of God. We must put off evil speech. We must deal with problems the day they occur. We must obey the law of God. How many people realize that the command to love your neighbor as yourself is in this context of not holding bitterness inside? Don't hate your brother in your heart. Don't speak evil about him behind his back, but speak to him to his face. So let us never gossip. Let us not listen to gossip. Let us remind ourselves of how wicked it is and how God hates gossip and how it is so destructive to the church, how it is so destructive to families, how it is so destructive to society. Let us remind ourselves that the person who is gossiped about, I don't care whether it's true or not, his reputation is damaged forever. And he may repent, and he may be a solid Christian and be doing things for Christ. And all you've done is damage him forever. So let us repent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word that you teach us how to use our tongues. And Lord, we acknowledge tongues are so hard to control. It's so easy to slip into sin. Ingrain the teachings of your holy word into our minds that we would repent daily, that we would die daily, that we would learn to speak words of love. Remind us of these passages when we fall short, that we would repent and serve Christ effectively and love Christ by obeying his law word. In Jesus' name, amen.